morning. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Already dropping things here. I want to share from my heart this morning, but before I do, I want to give out some blessings. You know, I've learned in life, now at age 65, if you want joy in life, bless somebody, encourage somebody, and you'll be surprised at how that touches your heart. So I want to thank and bless the worship ministers. I don't like the word team. I like the word ministers. Thank you. Thank you for all the time and effort that the singers and musicians put in. Doesn't that enhance our service? Thank you so much. I'm amazed at the gifts that God has given you, and keep on using them for the Lord. And then I want to hand out a blessing today to Brother Dean Teal. What a message last Sunday. Amen? Amen. Being holy. And this question that he asked, it's just stuck in my mind all week. Will we pass the holy test? Will we? Because the Word of God says, without holiness, what? No one will see the Lord. Amen? Will I pass the holy test? And then a blessing over some people that we walk by every Sunday and take for granted. The wonderful gift and their faithfulness, the sound ministry. The sound ministry. Brian, thank you. Kent, thank you. Ryan, thank you. And Nick fills in. Thank you. And the others that fill in. Thank you. We appreciate you. You add to the wonderful experience of worship in our services. Amen. Do you find yourself, you just walk right by him every Sunday? So next Sunday, you know, in the canine world, it would be called an attaboy. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, this morning, the title of this message is Unashamed. And this has been a long week for me because I've been up all through the night. There have been nights when I've been up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I've been seeking the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, why do you give me the heavy messages? Because this is going to be heavy, but it's going to be truthful. And I hope this morning, before I pray, to ask God to bless this. I want to ask you this morning, every one of you, that you will be honest with God and yourself. This morning, God's desire is to reveal himself to us by his word and by his spirit. Amen. God is here. Emmanuel. God with us. Amen. That beautiful, when you hear the word Emmanuel, what does it mean? God with us. God has promised us that where two or three gather in his name, what? He'll be in the midst. Amen. He's here. So, being honest with yourself and God, knowing that he's here. If you trust him today and obey him today, you can be freed from anything that has a stronghold on your heart or mind. Do you believe that? That's the power of the gospel. So, With that in mind, would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I come to you humbly in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. And God, this morning my mouth is dry, and I'm asking, God, would you help me to deliver this message? God, you are eternal, and your love is eternal. You love us, and you want to speak to us this morning. And so, God, I'm asking that your Spirit would flow into this service. God, that you would look us straight in the face and deal with us as we examine our hearts about this word, unashamed. God, I thank you for the opportunity to lift up Jesus, and I ask that your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This word, unashamed, in King James, it's recorded as not ashamed. Not ashamed. It's used in around 31 passages, and not ashamed. The shamed means to be embarrassed, to be guilty, to be humiliated. And this word, not ashamed, unashamed, first appears in Genesis, in the creation story. And if you know that story, God breathed into the dust, man became a living soul, and out of the ground came Adam, and then he put Adam to sleep and took a rib out of him, created Eve. And that says they were in the Garden of Eden, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed. Not ashamed. Why? Because they were holy. They were without sin. That's the very purpose God created, a holy creature, person. They were unashamed. And then the downfall. They disobeyed, ate of the fruit, and in that transaction, something happened inside of them. They became ashamed. Now they were ashamed. And so what did they do? Gathered up some fig leaves, sewed them together, and covered themselves, and they hid. They hid. And God came walking in the garden, cool of the day. Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I was afraid, and I hid myself. Ashamed. Adam, what have you done? And we know the rest of the story. Church, many people today live their entire life hiding from God. They're afraid. Why? Because something isn't right in the soul. So they hide. They hide in so many things. But we all know we can never hide from God. And so the question I want to read to you today, and then if you have your Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 8, and we're going to read 34 through 38. These are the words of Jesus, the Son of God. These aren't man's words. These are the words of Jesus, the Son of God. And the question we want to look at today and be honest with ourselves is this. Am I ashamed of Jesus and his words? That's heavy. Church is heavy. But the Holy Spirit is going to help us get through this. Because there's victory, amen, in Jesus. We do not have to live being ashamed our whole life. Jesus, in this passage, verse 34 says this, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what profit shall, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And here's the verse. We need to hide this in our heart, in our mind. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory of the Father with his holy angels." Boom! Jesus says in this passage that we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross. The cross is always means death. There's no beauty of the cross unless its purpose is for us to self-die to ourself and follow Jesus. He says, if I try to save my life, if I try to save my life, whatever that means in this life, whether through being as healthy as I can be, gaining all the money that I can, living carefully all of my life, if I am thinking only of myself, my whole life to save it, I will lose it. But if I lose my life for Jesus' sake and the gospel, my life will be saved. Amen? That's what Jesus said. Gain the whole world and lose my soul for the temporary things of this life. Has anybody figured out yet? Everything in this life is temporary. Right? Everything. Everything that you own. Everything that you say is mine. One day you're going to let go of it. And one day it's going to burn up in fire, according to the scriptures. This whole earth is going to burn. What is the gain if I try to gain the whole world? Or, most people don't think that way, but fall into this category, lose my soul because I exchange it for something of this world. The trivial things of this world, I'll exchange it. What's that mean? I'll give my time, my attention, my love for something of this world and ignore the eternal. So the question again we revisit, am I ashamed of Jesus and his words? I want to share an object lesson with you about Peter. Peter. This is an incredible story, but we all probably have done a Peter in our lives, okay? A follower of Jesus, Peter, for 3 years, he heard all the teachings of Jesus. He walked on the water. He saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. He witnessed the miracles of Jesus. He said he would die with him. He declared, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah. This Peter, when it got close, when it got personal, when the peer pressure of his surroundings came upon him, he was ashamed and he lied three times. Three times. A damsel said, you were with Jesus. Peter denied them and said, I don't know what you're talking about. A maid said a little bit later, you were also with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter denied with an oath, I do not know the man. A crowd a little bit later came around him in the fire and said, surely you're one of them. Your speech exposes you. Peter began to curse and swear, I know not the man. Ashamed. Whew. My, oh my. That same Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stood with a group of men who had been filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And it says that he lifted up his voice. What does that mean? That means his voice was magnified over the crowd so that they could hear him. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of people there that day. And this man who had been ashamed of Jesus, had denied him three times, lifted up his voice and said this, listen to me, you men of Judea, and those that dwell in Jerusalem, listen to my words. And this message that he preached, I timed it. If you go to Acts, the second chapter, the Word of God records this sermon from verse 14 to verse 36, and I timed it. This message lasted 3 minutes and 19 seconds. Okay? This man who had denied Christ stood up, listen to my words, the prophet Joel. You can say Joel. I like Joel. Rhymes with Noel. The prophet Joel, 800 years before Christ was born, said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Not some flesh, not most flesh, all flesh. And in that message, he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In this message, Peter highlighted, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, you have crucified. But He has risen from the grave. He has power over death. He has risen and now sits by God the Father in heaven. God hath made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people that were assembled that day, thousands upon thousands upon thousands, one of the studies that I had studied about, possibly between 100 and 200,000 people were in Jerusalem that day. They were pricked, convicted in their hearts, and said to Peter, "What shall we do?" And this man, who now is not ashamed of Jesus, says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And when he made that declaration, the word of God says, then they gladly received, they obeyed the words, and it says about 3,000 people were baptized that day. Amen. Now, the gospel hasn't changed since the day of Pentecost, when Peter declared that 3-minute and 19-second sermon. The message still is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. What is that gift? It's the peace in your soul that you are right with God. The blood has been applied. Amen? Unashamed. Unashamed. A lot of times Jesus used parables. And so to take a physical thing and illustrate a spiritual matter. Because in the spirit, we have to see it by faith. So, the word says that God will pour out, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And in this container, I have some cups. I'm pouring this water. And the water hits every cup in this container. But watch this, church. One cup is full. One is empty. The water that was poured out was received by one, rejected of the other. That's the way the Spirit works. The Spirit of God is here today, wanting to pour out his Spirit into your vessel. Amen? Amen? And you either receive it or you turn him away. It's that close, church. It's that close. So, I have a testimony, a video testimony. Ryan, would you want to play that now?
Knowing now that I'm a disciple of Jesus. It wasn't an easy transition for me, because I thought being a disciple of Jesus was just not doing wrong. Well, that's what I was doing beforehand. I was trying not to do wrong, not because I love God. I just wanted to show you that I think I'm better than you. So what really led me to humility is when I realized I need to start getting uncomfortable for Jesus. I need to start bringing him up because I didn't like to talk. I was shy. Just prayed to God over and over and over. It's not about me. It's not about me. Use me. My fears left. I'm going to let him use me.
Amen. I need to get uncomfortable for Jesus. Are you there this morning? I need to let the Lord use me. If we're not ashamed, we will with joy say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. You didn't save me to sit on the bench. You saved me to carry a message. And all the people that I walk into, Lord, through the day, through the week, Lord, I'm available. I'm not ashamed. When you tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, they need to hear about me, I'll say, yes, Lord. Amen. Jotted down some questions before we read our next passage. I'm going to be reading in the first chapter of Romans. These questions. Am I ashamed about talking about Jesus? Day-to-day conversations. Is it easier to say Lord and God instead of Jesus? Am I unashamed to carry my Bible into the house of God? Am I ashamed that people would see me carry my Bible, the Word of God that's forever settled in heaven? Am I ashamed, or have I went the convenience route? And I'll stop right there. Am I ashamed to bring the Word of God into the house of God? Am I ashamed every day that I live to open this book and bend my heart to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say, Lord, I want to get closer to you today? Am I ashamed to pray over meals wherever I may be, at home, in a restaurant, with family and friends? Am I ashamed to kneel before God in my time of prayer and say to God, I need you. I love you. Thank you for saving my soul. Am I ashamed to witness, to tell somebody, I'm born again. I'm born again and I know it. God has changed my, He gave me a new heart. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Are we ashamed or unashamed to serve others? Questions to ask ourselves this morning. In Romans, Paul the Apostle, we know Paul's story, his conversion on the road to Damascus, and he was sent to preach to the Gentile nation. And he records this beautiful passage in Romans 1, 15. I'm going to read through 20. And he says this, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. Everyone who thinks they're fooling a holy God in their unrighteousness, the word just said he revealed it to them. That's wrong. That goes against his holiness. And God just said he revealed it to them. They know. Now, I won't go down that trail, but they know. Because God's word doesn't lie. Amen? He revealed it to them. All unrighteousness and ungodliness has been revealed so that they... In verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly. Can you get any clearer than clearly? Clearly. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. None of us, listen to me, church, listen to me, friends, guests, no one has an excuse when they stand before a holy God on judgment day. No one. No one gets a pass. What was Paul meaning when he said these things are the invisible things are clearly seen? How many of you see the oxygen in this room? Is it here? Is it invisible? It's clearly understood that air, oxygen, is all around us. What about our soul? Has anyone ever seen somebody's soul? It's invisible. It's within us. It's invisible. There was a study once, and I was intrigued by this. It was like a mad scientist. He was trying to find the soul of a man. And so he got permission when somebody was on their deathbed that he would study them. He weighed them. He weighed their weight. He was gonna find the soul. And his theory was when they passed and the soul left, they should be lighter in weight. They were the same weight. Then he got permission to examine their brain. Surely he could find the soul of man in the brain. He got permission, and he did studies on those cadavers that had passed. He couldn't find it. It's invisible. It's clearly understood when God said he formed man and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can't see it. It's invisible. What about God's love? Can you see it? It's invisible, but we see it by faith. What about fear and doubt? Is it real? Anyone ever experienced fear and doubt? Did you see it? It's invisible, but it's there. What about the blood of Jesus? Has anyone ever seen visibly the blood of Jesus? It's invisible, but we clearly see it. What about God's power? What about the fruits of the Spirit? They're all invisible, But they manifest themselves in us, and we can see the reaction that a soul has when love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance comes flowing out of our life. We clearly see the invisible workings of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And so the invisible things are clearly seen. Make no question, they're there. Now, I want to pause. I want to take a time out here because this has kind of been heavy. And I have a song that I want to play to you because today's generation, this is the hymn of today. Okay? This isn't from my generation, but it has a message. And I hope that it brings some joy into your soul. Ryan, could you play this song for us?
Three brothers in a fire, willing to die for their faith. But you were with them in the fire, and they walked out the next day. And Daniel met a lion, because he chose to pray. But you shut the mouth of that lion, and he walked out the next day. So what's gonna be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my beliefs or will I turn around and run? Will let the whole world hear me say, I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that changed my life for the name above all names. I'm unashamed and I will live my faith out loud. Take a stand and stand my ground for the one who took my shame. I'm unashamed. I don't only answer to the crowd, I answer to a king.
Yeah.
So the louder they shout, well, the louder I sing. Yeah. What's gonna be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my belief?
Say that in your heart this morning. But if you can't, I have good news for you. You can. You can leave here this morning knowing that you are unashamed. Paul, in that passage, talked about he was ready to preach the gospel of Jesus. And I want to walk you quickly through. What is the gospel? What is the gospel that I'm supposed to be carrying? Simple. Let's simplify it. Point number one. I'm going to give you 5 points. Point number one. God loves you. God loves you. He loves us so much he gave his son Jesus. Point two. Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave. He conquered death so that we can be forgiven by his blood. Point three, God wants to live in your heart, in your soul. Do you realize that? Jesus said to his disciples, John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. God wants to live in your soul. Point four, God wants you to carry the gospel message with you. We're disciples. We have purpose. We have a mission. We have a commandment to make other disciples. Amen? We're to carry this with us and share it whenever we can. He wants to live it out and speak it out in our life. Sometimes just live your life, and some people will say, you're a believer, aren't you? Sometimes we'll use words. Live it out, speak it out. And the last point, God is returning. Did you know that? He's coming for the church. For all those who are born again, living for Jesus, sold out, obedient sons and daughters, he's coming for us. Jesus said in John 14:2-3, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. Do you believe that? Do you live every day like that? He could come today. Right? Are we ready? So I want to read some closing scriptures before we have a time to respond. Respond however the Lord has moved upon you. Because we need to hear God's word. This is what God's word says. In Acts, Paul recorded this. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Can it get any clearer than that? All men, all women, everywhere to repent. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world bringeth death. Godly sorrow, when you are truly sorry and repentant before a heavenly Father and ask for his forgiveness, you'll be forgiven and the blood will be applied. Amen. And then a very familiar passage in Romans as we prepare our hearts. Romans 10:9, 10, and 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to call upon him. What's that mean? That means I'm humbling myself before God. God, forgive me. I've wronged you. Please save me. It's a repentant prayer that you call out to the Heavenly Father. And I seen this beautiful thing studying this week when Jesus was hanging on the cross. What did he say out? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And every time somebody humbles themselves to call on the name of the Lord, to repent and ask Christ to forgive them, Jesus looks over to the Father and say, Father, forgive them. They want to be born again. Amen? Can you see it? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We don't know in our sins, but once God reveals to us, we know that we need to make peace with our Heavenly Father. I want to ask the worship leaders if they would come at this time and prepare our final song. I want to read one more scripture. I want to read this scripture. And before I read this, every one of us will forever in eternity remember this service, because the Lord's been here and he's spoken to us. Every one of us, when we stand in front of him, this service is going to be brought up, and Jesus is going to examine what our decisions was in this moment that we have. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Today, right now, is the day of salvation. And the scripture says to not to harden your heart. In other words, don't leave here and say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I'm not ready. God says, don't harden your heart. So when Paul recorded this in Romans chapter 1, I am ready to preach the gospel. I want you to think about these words. I am ready. Today I'm ready to repent before a holy God. I'm ready to confess. I'm ready to ask God to forgive me. I'm ready to bend my knee at an altar of prayer and call out for God. I am ready to be water baptized today. Today, if I know I need to be water baptized, I'm ready to call Pastor Josh or talk to one of the elders. I need to be baptized. I want to be baptized in obedience to Jesus. Maybe today you have drifted away. Today I am ready to come back to Christ. Today I am ready to be sanctified, set apart for God's service. Today I am ready to grow in Christ, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm going to bump my knees around the altar of God. I'm not ashamed to bend my knee and ask God. I want to grow. I want to get closer to you. Today I am ready to be sent. I'm ready. I'm asking God to give me boldness to go out into this world and tell people about Jesus. Today, I am ready to ask for healing in my soul, in my body, in my mind. I will come forward, and I am ready to ask the great physician for a healing. Today, I am ready to thank God publicly for saving my soul. If you'd stand with me, I want to read this passage and then have prayer. Paul wrote this in Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Father, you have been here. God, thank you. God, I'm rejoicing for the victories that are going to take place in a few moments. God, I'm humbling myself before you and again thanking you on bended knee for saving my soul. God, thank you for giving me a voice this morning to lift up the wonderful name of Jesus. God, I'm asking that you draw people, pull people, Lord, pull them to the throne room, that they would receive the power and the healing and the joy they're longing for. And I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.